Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You've been hoping to see the light. Your words are like keep holding on. 'Cause it's golden and he is calling you, calling you. You've chosen.
All right, everybody, I want to thank you all for joining us again for another episode of the Servant Leader Coaches Bible Study. I am your host, Coach Chelsea, and I'm super excited. You all, for those just kind of tuning in, it's kind of come along. I'm watching to make sure the past couple of times, that one right there. I always listen to my devotional before we come on, and it never fails. As I get like 10 seconds into my intro, it kind of nags at me, and I love it though. And I don't want to say nag. It reminds me of the same power I had at 5 a.m. when I woke up. And when I woke up, Coach, I'm going to tell you right now and everybody listening, I get so excited every day, but definitely the days that we're going to have these podcast calls. The servant leader we have on today, I was just telling her, I feel like we're definitely blessed by obedience. And in obedience, when I didn't understand why Christ gave me this assignment 3 years ago, I realized 3 years later, and even today, that I get to sit in a seat to be sharpened by iron every single day, like it says in the word. And so we've been celebrating 3 years, y'all. For those that's been tapping in with us, you know, we've been coming from the fourth quarter, put your fours up, what it looks like to serve until Christ return. And I was telling the servant leader we have on today, I'm gonna put this plug in here too, y'all. You know, baby girl Ham is one of her top recruits right now, already at the age of one, little lefty shooting guard in the making. But we just truly just been talking about that iron sharpening, what it looks like to serve. Today we have servant leader Coach Stephanie Murphy with us, y'all. I'm super excited. I am, Coach, because I've watched you even since the last time that we had things scheduled. She sharpens my iron, y'all. It seems like just even the other day, Coach, when you sent that worship song, it was right on time. And that's how I know God is real, because you didn't even know. And it came right on time. So I'm going to thank you publicly for that. But she's the head coach at Cahoma Community College for the women's basketball team. She's a servant leader. I know I've watched her. She's very instrumental in her FCA program there too. So y'all, I'm a hush, because honestly, I already know the Lord is going to use her, because we've been praying her up and holding her in. So I'm going to pass the torch to you, Coach. I want to first, though, thank you for your time, because time is that one thing that once it's given, we can't give it back. So I'm going to pass the torch to you to say hello to our listeners. We get this conversation started today.
Hey, listeners, I hope everybody had a great day. Hope everybody's doing well. I'm excited about the opportunity to be on the Servant Leader. Chess, I promise you, I'm truly honored. Like I said, I love your messages, your tweets. I love what you're doing with the podcast. And it's just talking about iron sharpening iron. Like you sharpen me. That was one thing I saw on Twitter. I was like, man, I really like what she's doing. So I appreciate the encouragement that you give me through your videos as well.
Thank you, Coach.
Just blessed to be here. And I think God has something that he wants to share. And I've been on it. Like, he's had me in it for about 3 weeks straight. And I think I'm ready to give what he's putting on my heart for the people.
Yes. Well, Coach, I done put my blue emu and my biofreeze on my knees and my ankles, and I was prepared for y'all. So we are ready to hear, and we're going to pray you through this, Coach. So we appreciate you.
Okay. All right. Let's dive in then. What you said, Chelsea, about how you've been being obedient has brought mm-hmm. about able to do the podcast. And when you said the blessed by obedience, that's kind of really leading into what I want to talk about today.
Nice.
I kind of got a little message title a little bit, kind of got some Baptist church in me. So I feel like
I like that.
So I want to kind of talk about if I had to come with something, that favor finds the faithful.
Come on.
Favor finds the faithful. I've been studying Daniel for like the last 2 weeks straight. And I'm gonna tell you what happened. It's been 3 weeks. 3 weeks ago, we were in FCA. And because basketball season ended, we were traveling on Wednesday, so I missed the last two FCAs that we had. So when I got back, you know, the baseball coach, Coach Biggs, he and I lead together. And he said, Coach, what we've been doing, we've been studying, we've just been going back and studying Bible stories, just going through it in small groups and studying Bible stories. So that particular night, you know, we were going over Daniel. And of course, when everybody thinks about Daniel, they think about Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Everybody yep. knows in story is Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. But what God really had my heart on was Daniel 1-6. It didn't even get to the part of Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. So if I got time, I'm just going to just read a little bit. It says that it pleased Darius to say, and I'm in Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. It said it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 governors to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials of whom was one, to whom the governor should give account, so that the king might suffer loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and governors because an excellent spirit was found in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the governor sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground or complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error was found in him. And so I was just, when we were talking about it, you know, like during the lesson at FCA, you know, God just had me stuck on Daniel 1-6. I just, even though I've read it so many times, it was something so different and so challenging and so convicting about this on this particular round. And it's saying, God, what is it that you're trying to show me through these six verses? And so what I challenged the group, and I told them that I was being convicted as I was reading, as Coach Biggs was reading. And I was the part that got me was Daniel's character was so high that even though the other two governors were trying to find something against him, his character was so high and he walked in so much integrity that even though they was looking for something, they couldn't even find anything.
My.
And I was just so blown away just by that part. And so I remember just driving on the way home, and I was like, God, I really want to have a character like that. I want my walk to be that sound and have that type of faithfulness towards you. And so, you know, God is honored in the daily. He's honored in the daily things that we do, you know, that we don't really think about. Luke verse 16, this is another verse I want to give out because I just want to hit on three things. Luke chapter 16, verse 10 says, one who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. So it's like, can God trust you with more?
Mm.
You know, will you be faithful in your daily walk? You know, can you be honest enough to where even the smallest things, you still trying to bring God glory in even the smallest things, the very detailed things in your daily life? And that's exactly what Daniel was doing. Daniel was just working. You know, like they hired 120 people to be over the kingdom. They put three people to put over the 120. So Daniel was just one of the three. But because he worked so hard, he was so faithful, he was honest in all of his dealings. He wasn't doing anything illegal or corrupt. He wasn't cheating. He wasn't stealing money. He wasn't trying to get over. He wasn't off when he was supposed to be working. You know, so he was so faithful in the small things.
Yes.
This is the blessing that comes within that. It says that because Daniel's spirit was so high and his spirit was so excellent, it said that the king had planned to put Daniel over the whole kingdom. Daniel didn't even know that the king was planning this. That's why the other two governors got mad and started hating, because they found out that, hey,
come on,
but the king about to put Daniel over the whole kingdom. And so they, you know, they weren't feeling that. But Daniel really had no idea. He was just doing his own. He was just doing his own thing over here, being faithful over there, working over there, like looking over everything he was supposed to do. So if we just walk in what God has called us to in the small things, then God is. We're showing that we can be trusted in the bigger things, and that God is. And sometimes God can be planning bigger for us, and we don't even know it. If you just stay attentive to the small things in your daily life, and so. So I've been walking around the last 2 weeks. When I get to school in the morning, if I'm at home, I wake up and I read Daniel 1-6, and I walk around and pray, because I just want to focus on having integrity for 24 hours. I said, God, when I first read, I said, God, I'm really challenged and convicted by this, but I really want to live my life in some way that it honors you and that it brings you glory. And I said, this is to take on for the rest of my life, but I know if I can focus on it one day at a time, then I feel like I can do it on you. It's something I want to do forever, but life happens. So just help me in these 24 hours. And so then I wake up and I try to do it again the next day. So it's narrowed my focus to be the best person that you can be for God, being faithful and working in all the small things and honoring him one day at a time, to try to live a life that's honorable, just like Daniel's was.
Mm.
And so the next story of favor finding somebody, I love this story too. This is the story of David. And David is one of my favorite characters in the Bible. And so this is the first time we hear about David is in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11. That's the first time David even comes on the scene. And that's where Samuel is going to look for another king, because again, Saul, who had that position, lost it because of his character. So now mm-hmm. it's time to go get it. So now it's time to go get another king. So he sends Samuel down, of course, to Jesse's house. He's looking for somebody to anoint. And so Samuel is there. He has six sons in front. So of course, Samuel's looking at the outside. He's looking for somebody strong, probably somebody built, somebody that got the swagger of a king.
That's
so
right.
He just passing by, and God is like, Samuel's like, no, like this ain't it. So Samuel getting to the next, surely this is the Lord's anointing. Like this got to be him. He looked like a king. And he was just like, no, this ain't it either. And so he gets to the final one. And he turns back to Eli. He said, is this, Jesse, and said, is this all of your sons? And he said, no, there's still the youngest one. He's out there tending the sheep. And so when I love to say, like, if you're looking for me, I'll be out there tending the sheep. This kind of
come
one
on.
Of like, I want to be out minding my own business, doing what the Lord called me to do. And so because David was out there doing his job, he was doing what his father had told him to do. You be out there and you tend the sheep. So whatever was going on in the house, it wasn't important enough for David to leave those sheep out there where they were. So it's like, you go out there, you tend the sheep. And so when he said, go send for him. We ain't gonna sit down until he come. Like, we gonna wait until he gets here. But this is what God showed me today. And I want you to think about this, Chelsea. What if David was not out there with the sheep at the time?
Come on.
Think about it.
Come on.
If he was out doing something else, out roaming around, out playing with his friends. I'm going out to eat. Oh, I got a little shepherd girl over here. I'm gonna go holler at, you know, like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm all distracted to where he's not with the sheep when Samuel comes. He would miss his whole blessing, his whole kingdom, because he was coming out there to anoint the king. He was supposed to be with the sheep. He was exactly where he was supposed to be, doing what God had called him to do and doing what his father had told him to do, and that was tending sheep. And because he was doing what he was supposed to do and he was faithful over the few things, favor found him.
Come on.
Sometimes we go out and we looking for favor. Like, we go out and we looking for the next thing.
Come on, coach.
We looking for the big thing. But you haven't even shown God that you can be faithful in the job that you have or in the small things that you have. That's why I always make a mention of there is no such thing as a small job, you know, because to God, it's important. So if this doesn't matter to you, why would God trust you with something bigger if what you have, that what you consider small, or this just beneath me, or I'm just doing this kind of to pass by until I can get to something else. So if that's the way you're going to look at the small thing that he's giving you, why would he trust you with something bigger?
Amen.
And so that's what I go back to. The he who is faithful in a few things will also be faithful in much, and that favor finds the faithful. If you're just faithful to God, if you're faithful and obedient in the small things, doing what God has told you to do, favor will find you. You ain't got to go reaching for it. You don't have to go searching for it. In none of those circumstances with Daniel or David, did they go looking for God? Or did they go looking for favor? Or did they go looking to be the next king? Or did they go, Daniel wasn't looking to be put over the whole kingdom. He was just doing his job. And so what I want to challenge the listeners with today, and what I'm still trying to challenge myself with daily, I promise you, I have read this for the last 3 weeks straight. This is all I'm reading now. I just read Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. I don't even get to the part about him being thrown in their lines there. I just want to focus on Daniel's character and his integrity and his faithfulness. And because of his faithfulness and him, I just throw this last part about him being thrown in lines. Did I get this in? I like the part when the king, when he was trying to make sure that Daniel was okay, because the king was struggling. He didn't want Daniel to be thrown in because Daniel was his guy. He trusted Daniel.
That's right.
He said that Daniel, has the God that you serve continually been able to serve you, been able to deliver you?
Come on.
He knew. He was watching. The king was paying attention. He knew Daniel is serving God continually on a daily basis. So the way we work can bring somebody to Christ.
Come on.
The way we go about our daily business could draw somebody to Christ if they see the way we just going about our daily walk, our daily business, our daily, how we deal with our coworkers, our bosses, the people that we perceive to be underneath us, whether it be a trainee or a student. Like, even those things, how we deal with that can draw somebody to Christ just about how we walk in our daily life. So that's kind of what I had on my notes. I don't really know what goes on after.
You good? Listen, because what happens is the fact that one, God is moving through you, and then of course naturally he gives these confirmations, and I'm laughing because one, I found myself having these conversations about 2 weeks ago, right? That sometimes we force the gift,
right?
I told somebody that I said, you forcing it, like, you can't make what's not for you for you,
right?
And you definitely can't navigate hate or maneuver in a negative way, because what seems like somebody else's favor that's on them hasn't made it their way to you. I laugh because this morning, that's why I'm smiling the whole time that you're talking, is confirmation, confirmation, confirmation. This morning, in the past 2 days.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I've been kind of reading on, you know, just miracles of Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And I said this to Coach Bernita Jackson at Texas Wesleyan. She was on the last week. And I said to her, and I said, you know, it's funny, if a person doesn't know Christ, right, just read them his resume, you know. And one of the, she said, I would suggest maybe start in John, you know, and if you do that, you'll kind of see some of those things. I said, you'll see his resume. That's what I call that. I said, because if you imagine when we get a job, we go for the next thing, we're trying to go to the next position, what are they asking us for? Our track record.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that track record of God allows me to know that he's going to come through when it's for me.
Amen.
I had, you know, your little recruit is my first child, and I had Hendrix early, right? And we know full well that, you know, when babies come early and they're not full term, sometimes they don't get developed certain things, you know, and closer to term is very few things, but we know what happens to a premature baby that's born, right?
Right.
So I always shift and tell people, with their blessings or their gift or their assignment or whatever the case may be, I don't want a premature blessing from God. I want it when it's done and when I'm ready.
Ready for it.
Come on. Right. And sometimes what that looks like doesn't feel good. Sometimes it feels like I'm waiting forever, but his time is not our time. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. And so when you came with this, I was like, come on here. That is total confirmation.
Yeah, because I promise you, sometimes, and I know I've done it before, like in my life, I was talking to one of my former players today, and, you know, I got about 25 years on her now, so now I can talk to her about all these experiences that I've been through and just
know. Right.
Hey, God is, I was like, hey, it's going to be okay. Like, God is going to work this situation out for you. Like, you're going to be okay. You're going to be fine. But that's sometimes we want things too early. And I said, there's a song that I listen to called God, Thank You for the No.
Come on.
There are some things that I promise you we don't need to have.
Come on.
We're praying for things sometimes that would be to our detriment. That we're praying for things sometimes that honestly we are not ready for. And God knows that we're not ready for it, to where it needs to be something developed in us. Or maybe where we think we need to be, that may be a bad place with the people over there where you're trying to go or who you're trying to get with. It's like, so sometimes God in his sovereignty,
come on,
knows when to say, no, you don't need that. You're not ready for that. You don't need to go there. Stay here or go there. But we get impatient.
Mm-hmm.
Charlotte Smith said at the FCA breakfast I went to at the Final Four, they mm-hmm. had a non-denominational service. Oh, the message was just amazing. She preached.
I love her.
My first time here, absolutely preached. And she said, sometimes we want to take the pen.
Come on.
That's the problem. She said, we don't want to let God write the story. Sometimes we want to take the pen. And I know I used to be so bad at that. And my faith has grown tremendously since I've been at Cahoma in these 5 years. And I think that was a part of me coming was for my own spiritual growth. Because it took so much faith to get the program, like I said, not out the mud, out the cemetery, to get it to where it's a good program. it took so much faith and so much work that I had to believe God for that, because that wasn't something that could be done in the natural.
That's right.
And I remember my nephew-in-law, and my family calls me Shay. Okay. And I was talking about some different things, and he was like, Shay, he said, your problem is you too concerned about the details.
Come on.
You know,
they
like
do that.
You believe in God, you're asking God for something, but you're concerned about the details of how it's going to happen. You know, you want to know all of the details of how it's going to happen instead of just giving it to God, and whatever God does, he just does.
Yeah.
And so that's one thing I've learned to do now, is not to concern myself so much with the details.
Come on.
It's just like, God, you got it. I trust your end result. And I'm just going to walk in. I'm just going to keep on walking. And I'll just be over here minding my own business, being faithful, tending the sheep. So that's kind of how I like to look at that.
I like that, Coach. You know, I told somebody the other day, and it's, you know how sometimes we speak to our players or our coaches or those people that we mentor and lead, and then you say something and it backfires because you'd be like, ooh, okay, God, I see what you did there, right? Mm-hmm. And I was telling them, you can't micromanage God.
No, you can't.
How are you going to micromanage the manager?
Right.
That, you know, it just doesn't work that way. And when we do that, and I'm glad you said that about the details, because we do, because I love Coach Charlotte Smith. She's a servant leader. She's been on. You have to find her episode. She's awesome. And then, but Coach Corey Close, she's another one. She said something similar. And she talked about, she said, you know, each day it is my prayer that I give God my hands and I give him everything in it. But my biggest prayer is that I don't try to take it back. That is how she opened the conversation. And I was like, oh, Coach, I can just hit in right there, because that's a word in itself. She said, no, honestly, Chelsea, in everything that we do, because in this world, we're moving along and we're in charge of so many things. It's so easy sometimes, though, it's a very fine line that we fail to forget, even though I'm the head coach, even though I'm the leader, this is my assignment and there's somebody over me. And that thing took me.
That's good, because I know, and I've recognized at the times in my life. And one thing about me, like, I have good self-awareness. Like, I'm not a person that's just oblivious to my own flaws and mistakes. Like, we laugh about it all the time. I always tell my coach, I'm self-aware. Like, I know my limitations. But at the point of my life where I felt like I was trying to just want to make sure everything went the way that I was used to, it's just like we look at life like a practice schedule.
Come on.
You know, when you're doing a practice schedule, you every second from the stretching and the warm up, or the opening talk, all the way to every
water
water break, the ending, the closing things you're gonna say, as you say, bring it in is even on the paper. You know, like it's on the paper. So it's like every single second and every single detail is you planned it. Like you sat down, thought about it, and you planned it out. And I said, I think I'd be wanting my life to go like the practice schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I just want to do it. I want to just sit there and it's like, okay, this, at this time, I'll do this, by this age, this should happen, you know, so.
And oh, then, yeah.
And so then when it don't go like that, you looking at God like, you know, like, God, what's up? Like, I thought this is what you were doing. It's like, no, this is what you were doing. Like, so. I know God has had some laughs at me, because I kind of got ahead of God a couple of years ago. I thought I knew what God was doing. I was like, oh God, I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. But then when it didn't happen, it's like, God, I thought this was lined up for this to happen. It was just like, no, this is what you were thinking the whole time. I never, you know, God had never told me that any of that stuff was gonna happen. And so it really is an amazing thing. But this is one thing I'm enjoying more in my life now. The surrender.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really, really enjoying the surrender. It actually takes pressure off you.
It does.
And you're more at peace when you don't try to figure your whole life out, or even the next day. It's actually more peaceful. If I would have known 10, 15 years ago, it was actually more peaceful just to trust in the beginning, to trust the outcome of God, and not try to trust and do. Then I was like, man, I could have had a lot more better days of not trying to figure everything out. But that's been a growth though. And I'm just thankful that God is still challenging me, still convicting me, and that I still have the desire to really want to be better and really follow after him and just to be an even better, a better leader, a better follower of Christ, and to really be sensitive to hear his voice. So I'm thankful for even those, the challenges that I can read Daniel, and 10 years later, you get something completely different. So that's a blessing within itself.
For sure. I mean, much like a movie and a song, right? You know, I laugh because even the song you sent me, you said, I played it. I know I'm on 10 time over, right? And we do that like movies, and we do that like shows, and you pick up something different each time, but you also pick up something differently with your perspective and with your growth and maturity, right? And so much like anything else, I laugh because having Hendrix, having a child in general, and people told me this, but like now that it's happening, it's like, y'all right, it changes your thought process. And it's like how God has used her to bring more clarity to what he's saying to me, right? And it's almost like I hear him like he right there, because he does it in a way through her, because that's where my attention is. And right. I always say, God, you're so faithful for that, because truly trying to still make sure that I give him time, right? That it definitely is first. That just looks different. He says, okay, I'm gonna meet you where you are. Here's this little person that has no idea she's doing it, but I'm going to show you things through her. And it's amazing how even when you place, when you talked about Daniel and saying, I'm just going to be out there tending the sheep. Coach, in this career, and you know this to be true, there's jobs where people feel like, nah, that's beneath me.
Right.
So, you know, everybody wants to go to high profile or favorable or do things without order of him. I want to move a little bit, speaking since you've been on Daniel, moving in that and speaking about being where God has assigned you and called you when he's ready to bless you. Talk a little bit to the coaches and the leaders who, what you were just saying, we're trying to write with the pen. We're trying to know the details about truly how to move yourself in a place to be on his assignment, knowing that call from him and being obedient to stay there, right? When it doesn't seem favorable. And I guess I'm leaning towards more so that discernment piece. How do you use discernment to know when God has called you to an assignment, and even when it's difficult, staying there until he moves you?
I think the discernment comes from the relationship with God.
One thing,
I gave my life to Christ when I was 16. And so I didn't grow up I didn't grow up going to church all the time. And so one thing that afforded me, because my mom worked at a country club, and so she worked every Sunday. So we didn't really go to church like that. We only went to church on like Easter and like holidays. And so other than that, we were just kind of like out and about, like on Sunday, just not going to church. So when we started going to church, one of my aunts got saved and gave her life to Christ. So she started taking all of her nieces and nephews to church. And so that happened when I was around, you know, 9th, 10th grade. And I think the fact that I wasn't churched, you know, didn't know how church was supposed to go.
Come on.
I used to always just be in my room, just praying and just talking to God. I didn't really know it was just like, I was going through a lot. I started learning about Jesus, and I just fell in love with Jesus. He was so loving and so compassionate, and he loved everybody. He was everybody Jesus came in contact with. He just loved them. And that's what drew me to Jesus, was that he loved everybody. And I felt like at that point in my life, being a teenager and just kind of going through different things, I really didn't have anybody to talk to. So I started talking to God in my room. I would just lay in my bed and just kind of talk to God, and we're just praying and just hoping that he heard me. And so that's kind of how the relationship started. And so what I would always pray was like, God, put me in a place where I can hear from you. So I started reading the Bible a lot. So that was one thing that I picked out. So I still pray this: God, set me in a place where I can hear from you. And this is another story when it talks about moving and going, or whether you should stay somewhere. When I started reading about the children of Israel and when God was leading them out of Egypt, the Bible says that he led them in a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night.
Come on.
When the cloud moved, they moved. When the cloud stayed, they stayed. So they knew like, hey, if they look up there and the cloud was like moving that day, oh, it's time for us to move. If the cloud wasn't moving, they stayed. So I was just like, God, I started praying this early when I read this. I said, God, I need you to lead me just like that. I don't have to be trying to figure a whole bunch of stuff out. I need you to lead me just like you led the children of Israel. I need to see almost like a cloud. I need to know that it's you saying, okay, move, go, stay. And I think because I was so specific in that, not just wanting to be just jumping all over the place, and I really wanted to make sure that I was in the purpose of God, I always knew when it was time to, when it was time to move, he always made it really, really clear when it was time, when my assignment was done. But it was because I didn't have happy feet. All the time, like a lot of people call, and I'm gonna tell you something, Chester, that's amazing to me. People reach out to me for advice. And sometimes I ask myself, I said, I wonder does she know I'm a junior college coach? You know, because they seek me out like I've like done, like, you know, like you big time almost a little bit. And I was just like, people really see you differently than how you see yourself. But I told them, they was talking about, you know, hey coach, how did you get that job? Like, coach, you always get the good jobs. I was never looking for the job. Mm-hmm. You know, I started out doing middle school basketball, 7th and 8th grade basketball. Mm-hmm. You would have thought I would pat something. I was so faithful and working so hard in that middle school job. I was just loving on my, it was my first job, and I was just loving on my middle school kids, just working hard. Then the coach asked me to come and do 9th grade for. Mm-hmm. So I'm in 9th grade. Just enjoying and still loving on the kids. Then it's like, boom, okay, I think I might can try to do this job. So mm-hmm. No experience, step out there, somebody see, oh, she got something in her. She don't know what's going on, but she got something in her. And so people just, so I would be here, then somebody would just call me to come here. Then somebody would just call me to go there. And then somebody would just call me to go there. So I was never in a situation where I was just out just really looking. And so I try to tell them, just be faithful. Just be faithful where you. So the best advice that I give them is like, just be faithful where you are. Mm-hmm. Be faithful to what God has called you to. And then when it's time for him to elevate you, he will elevate you. You know, so I can't tell somebody, oh yeah, this is a step for you to get here, because I know that wasn't my step. It wasn't my process. I worked just as hard now as a junior college coach that I was working when I was at Tupelo Middle School. That was my first job. I'm not working any harder as far as like the way I approach what I do. And so I was faithful doing middle school. I was faithful doing 9th grade basketball. I was faithful as an assistant varsity coach. I was faithful as a varsity coach, and I'm faithful as a junior college coach. But mm-hmm. Nothing changed in the process. I never looked at any job like, oh, I'm just doing this to do this. Cause that's where a lot of people go wrong. You know, it's like, I'm doing this job to get this job.
That's no, right.
Do that job to the glory of God, and do that job for the purpose in which you were sent there. And so God may have in store, God already knows, your next step, I'm going to send you there. But your feet don't need to be in 10 different directions while God has called you to a certain place.
Oh so my God.
I just like to be faithful in the place, in the position that God has called you. Because we're seeing examples in the Bible that you don't have to go far. David minded his own business. The anointing comes to him.
Mm-hmm.
The next job, and it was a big job. You know, he went from, it's almost like he went from a junior high school coach to a Power Five. You
come
know,
on.
I'm tending the sheep to king. You know, so that was a big jump. But you know, just even with Daniel, like Daniel was just doing his job, just being faithful, over the few things. So I think if we would just allow, if we can just see God is present everywhere, and there can be glory and goodness found in every situation that we're in. But sometimes we want to skip the steps. We just want to skip being here. It's like, oh, I'm gonna really honor God when I get here. No, you can honor God right now while you coaching junior high.
Come on.
You know, treat the junior high job like it's a Power Five, like it's a D2, like it's a D1. And then then once God see that, he see your heart and your motives are right. You know, because it's, you know, even with the reason that all of Jesse's other sons weren't required to be king, he said that God, you know, you looking at the outward appearance, God looking at the heart. You know, God knows our motives. Sometimes we miss blessings because our motives are wrong. We're not doing it because we're really trying to help somebody or we really love what we do. We're doing it so we can try to get to a next step. And so God can see through all of that. And I think God is looking for hearts that he could use. You know, hearts that are gonna be faithful, you know, faithful to him and his business, his doing. And so you know, that was a story. We used to meet. I was really involved in FCA when I played basketball at Ole Miss, and I loved our FCA group. It really strengthened my faith when I was in college. We had a football player named Bill. I can't think of Bill Flowers. He played wide receiver, and Bill wanted to go to the NFL. And I remember in all of our leadership groups, Bill would always say, "I believe that it's God's purpose for me to glorify God in the NFL." He would say that all the time. Like, that was Bill's prayer. I want God. I feel like God's purpose for me is to glorify him in the NFL. And our FCA director, Wes Yeary, he told Bill, he said, God wants you to honor him on the practice team.
Wow.
He said, God wants you to honor him right now on the practice team, on the practice field. You know, you can honor God right now, right where you are. And so that was one thing that always, I never forgot that. It was like, you know, yeah, we look at, oh, God's giving me this stage so I can really glorify him with this platform. You can glorify him on the platform you have now.
Come on.
No, so that's how we should go about it. If God gives us something bigger, you should still have the same mindset and the same focus. Like I'm still gonna be consistent in my daily walk and what I was doing in the beginning, because what we're doing right now is what's gonna cause the favor and God's trust to give us something bigger. We can't skip over that. We can't skip over parts to get there.
Coach, that's so good. Again, confirmation. I was talking to a young athlete today, and I laughed because he was mentioning something that had happened in practice. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I always listen to them and I try to meet them where they are, but I try to change the perspective. So I'm a teacher and I'm a coach. So I get to talk to them and try to open their mind to the side of, I'm not your coach, but let me speak to you as if I were. So he told me something that he had done. I said, okay. He said, I know you're going to get on me. I said, I'm not judging. I said, but I want to ask you this. I don't even need your answer. I just want to ask you this. He said, okay. I said, would you have done? I said, you had any choice where you could go. Don't matter. D1, D2, JUCO, NAIA. Whatever the case may be, where would you want to go? He said, I want to stay here. I want to go to Florida State. I'm in Tallahassee. I said, okay. I said, so Coach Mike Norville, standing on the hill, you don't know. And he's your coach. And he says to you exactly what your coach right now said to you. Would you have responded the same way? Almost before I could get way out my mouth, he's like, no, no. I said, so because your current coach is your coach, it made what you said and did okay.
That's good.
He's like, I see what you did there, coach. I see. And I was like, no, I'm just asking. I don't want to answer. I'm finished. Go back, finish my assignment, but I want you to think on that. Mm-hmm. And then we move forward. And he said, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. He said, what made you say that? I said, baby, because if you're not prepared for where you currently are, you'll never be prepared for where God is ready for you to go. And that was huge confirmation. It was so funny because he didn't say anything else. He went back to my assignment, but I'm watching his eyes. I'm watching his face. And he kept thinking about that thing. And it's amazing because he's a young person, but how often do we do that, coach?
We do it. I'm telling you, coach, like I really enjoy coaching. Like I mm-hmm. really coach in basketball and I love kids. And I know, but I'm real too. Like I'm honest with my kids.
Same.
I said, you want God to bless you with a 4-year scholarship. You won't even work hard in JUCO.
Come on. Come on, coach.
And I just try to be honest with them to see like you really want another, you really want God to bless you with a scholarship, or you thinking that you're gonna get another scholarship and you don't even work hard here?
Come on.
You don't even work hard in JUCO.
Come on, so extend that out to high school, coach. Extend that out to high school.
Right, like you don't work hard in high school, but you want a college coach to come pick you up. It's the same. And so that's what I try to tell them all the time is like, y'all, you can't switch it up. You know, you're asking for something that you, first of all, you're asking for something that you don't deserve. You ask for something that you haven't even prepared yourself for. And I do believe that there is a part of a preparation to where there are times we need to put some feet on our prayers, as, and I heard somebody say, put some feet on your prayers.
Come on.
You do have to do, you're praying for something, but there's some things that we might need to do to kind of like, hey, all right, God, I'm trying to show you that I'm serious about it. But to be asking God for something, and then there's no type of preparation or work, or you lacking in it, and then you, again, it's like, but God, I want something bigger than this. It's like, come on now. I might not know God may be looking like, man, y'all just really tripping out.
Well, my kids say, bruh.
Like, y'all are really tripping if y'all think that this is how to go. Like, this is what I like to say too. I said, the only thing that we get that we don't really deserve is grace.
Come on.
Everything else you got to work for.
Mm-hmm.
No, we can't work for grace. I don't deserve grace. That's come free. I'm free and I'm thankful because there's nothing that I can do. Jesus has already done all the work. There's nothing I can do to deserve his grace. But the other things that I'm asking God for in my life, I'm not going to cheat. I can't cheat somewhere else and then think that God is going to trust me with the bigger thing that I may be believing or dreaming for. So I just believe in consistency. I don't think we have to help God out. You know, God knows everything. He knows that you ain't ready for that. You like, cause I say all the time, I said people don't want what they say they want. You know, it just sounds good.
Yeah.
People don't want what they say they want. It just sounds good. That's why I know when my kids be talking about, coach, I want to go, you know, get a scholarship. I want to do this, but you don't want to even come in and get on the gun. You don't want to come. You don't want to come in and shoot, and a gun gonna rebound for you. Like you don't even want what you.
Come on, coach.
So, but it's again, it's those steps that it's the steps like the lion and the bear faith. You know, mm-hmm. David, confidence because hey, I defeated the bear. Then I defeated the lion. And so it's like, now I'm ready for the next thing. So we got to have that, you know, that lion and the bear faith. It takes some action to go with that.
That's so good, coach. And you know, it's so funny because even those stories and those accounts in the word that reminds us of how God can use anyone, but he is using the ones that actually, like you said, are tending to the sheep. Mm-hmm. And I laugh because if you look at anybody, coach, leader, people who quote unquote achieve or reach the highest of the highest summits in their respective places, they'll give you those conversations like from there to then, from rags to riches. I was here and then this just kind of boom, took off, right? And I said, there's a commonality of that, y'all. That's not by happenstance. Most people say, well, no, I was just doing this small show and next thing you know, somebody called an XYZ. Oh no, I was just a single, you know, mom from such, and this happened. I was the youngest. We didn't really have nothing, but I made sure whether if I had holes in my shoes or not, I was still outside playing on the ready-made goal. It's individuals that, like you said, regardless of their situations, they put feet, right? They put feet on their prayers. They didn't let those things or have excuses. Like you said, you got a whole gun out here. You ain't got to have nobody rebound for you. The gun will do that, right? You had a gym. You have all of these things afforded to you. You say you want a scholarship. And I tell my kids all the time, okay, let me tell you what that entails. They don't say, coach, I want that O. I'm like, this lingo of these kids. I want that O, coach. I'm like, what? That offer, coach. I'm like, okay, so do you know what comes with that offer? I said, because I want you to understand, what does offer mean? Somebody is offering you something, but I need you to understand it comes at a cost. It comes at a price. It is a two-way street. I need you to understand that. So don't think that you just getting this O and then you want to get it posted and tweeted and shouted out. You know, the graphics are just getting, you know, these kids, right? That's what they want.
Okay? Yeah,
yeah. But at the end of the day, baby, when that's gone and you arrive, and your feet land wherever you committed and signed to go, the work comes in. And at that juncture, much like you said, if those things, some of us pray for things, we don't even think we think we want them. We think we're ready. And then it comes. And that's why a lot of times I'm speaking in sports sense, right? But in life in general, we think we want these things and then they come prematurely, or we get them without seeking God. And it's like, yeah, okay.
Like, we don't know what it entails. I remember when I got my first head coaching job in Meridian High School, I had no idea what I was getting ready to get into. You know, I had only been coaching 2 years. I did middle school and I'm assistant with varsity, but I wasn't seeing all of the issues with parents or the stuff with you have to take care of me to that stuff. And mm-hmm. so praying like, God, please give me this job. Praying like it was probably an hour and 45 minute ride, 2 hours, whatever time it was, I was praying the whole 2 hours, the whole time down, asking God to give me the job. And he gave it to me. And when I got in it, I was like, Lord, God, I wasn't ready.
That's right.
It was rough. I was just like, man, I did not realize like how hard it was. And I had to struggle. Like, it was almost like God was just like, I'm going to give it to you. You know, you praying for it. And I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to bless you with it. But, you know, I had to struggle through it. It was not easy by any means. Now I can look back now and just like, man, you weren't ready for that. You know, like, you know, there you had no clue. You were not ready for that. But you know, it turned out well. But there was an instance where sometimes it's like we're praying for things and sometimes God will give it to us.
Oh, but yeah. Like,
you're not really ready for that.
Hey, Coach, it's so funny that you said it because I want to extend out to something one of my biggest prayers, and like we talked about when we first got on, is, you know, when the pandemic started, and you know, it started literally talking about these things, just me doing a devotional. And the Lord is like, well, you tweet these people and you talk to these people on social media all the time. You are missing your opportunity. Have you asked them to do this devotional with you? Like, you are missing contacts. What do they say in touches? When they're in marketing, touches. You're missing touches. And I'm like, and I kind of shook that off. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not asking these people to do no devotional with me, right? I got locked out of my house, Coach. This is a story. I shared this a couple of times in pretty much anniversary time. I got locked out of my house, right? It was my brother was coming to pick up his kids, my niece, my nephew. I come back in the house and the door was locked. I'm outside. I'm like, so I'm sitting there waiting on the people to come in, let us in. And I get back in the house and it's like, so you're going to do what I say do or not? I'm like, I hear you, fine, sweating, hot, fine. So I go get in the shower and I come back out and I'm like, boom, I'm doing this, you know, devotional. Who would want to join me? Coach, over 47, surrounded to 50 coaches attached to that plan. We did it for 7 days on servant leadership, serving and leading like Christ, what it looks like, especially in the time of pandemic where no one saw this coming, no one had experienced that before in this lifetime. And now 3 years later, it looks different because the world, we're not on shutdown mode anymore where you could just be free at home all day, but it does extend itself out to now you've called this same young lady who at first was not obedient to just simply asking people to join a plan. But I promise you this now, Coach, when he moves and says, hey, I need you to ask her. And I'm like, Coach, I don't know. I mean, she coached such and such. And it's like, you want to try this again? Because last time it was just getting locked at your house to get your attention. But you say all that to say is that amazingly enough, when you put your feet to your prayers, as you said, when you recognize that it's not about your assignment. You can't go and try to do something on your own and then ask God to back you up.
Ooh, that's good.
Many times we do that though, Coach. We navigate the way we want it to be. Oh, I wanted to do this and it'll be great. And I'm planning this out. And then things fall through and it's like, oh Lord, can you please help me through? Well, wait a minute now. Did I ask you to do that in the first place?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so tired. Lord, I got so much on my plate. Well, first of all, half of what's on your plate was not what I assigned to you.
Right.
So at the end of the day, we have to make sure not only we put some feet with our prayers, but much like you mentioned with your discernment, it's knowing the assignment giver. One of my students was not in class for 2 days and they asked their seatmate what we did. Now, you know, these jokers don't always pay attention. And she ended up doing 2 assignments that I did not assign to them. So she came to turn them in and I said, well, what is that? And she said, oh, I was gone. And they told me this is what we worked on. I said, who told you that? Well, so-and-so and so-and-so. I said, sweetheart, no. I asked them to look at that to refresh up their memory from the weekend. But you were assigned this and this. Man, I didn't know that in XYZ. Why didn't you ask me? Well, right. I don't know. I asked them. Well, sweetheart, I gave the assignment. If you asked the person that assigned the assignment, there would have been no confusion. And so often, coach, we go and ask other people. We lean on other people. We consult other people. And what I was reading this morning about Jairus, his daughter, and the whole miracle that God worked, of course, with raising her from the dead, one of the things that stuck out to me, and I drew underlines, drew arrows to it, was so often we focus on what the crowd says.
Right. Yes.
When Jesus is the one that's perfection and can do the things that we were asking and praying for, yet the crowd starts talking about what we can and can't do, what we should do, what you should go. You should apply for that job. That sound like you, girl. You got you written all over it. Who did you seek and consult? Because the last time, much like my student, where you're getting the wrong information, the true assignment that's assigned can only come from the one who assigned it.
That's good. That is really amazing, because I know, like, I know me in a way I try to process things. I can't, like, when I know I'm trying to hear from God, I just have to tune people out.
That's it.
People will try to, you know, try to guide you and direct you and kind of tell you what you should be doing and where you need to go. But I got a history of hearing from God. So I know God's voice.
Come on.
You know, so I got a history of communication and talking to him. So I feel like I always know when he's speaking to me. And so I don't ever try to fight with people about, you know, like your voice and my voice and which one I'm going to listen to, because I know I'm going to always do what God has told me to do. And the first thing that I do is seek God first. You know, I may talk to some close friends, but I ain't talking to close friends before I talk to God.
Come on here.
You know, I may run it by you, but I'm seeking God. That's how it works. Like you, I'm not looking to you for the answer. You know, I'm seeking God for the answer. I may just run it by you because we're close, but yeah, I'm not, people just need to understand that, because they don't know, you know, people don't know what God may have in store for you. And, you know, their thoughts may be good. You know, they may mean well, but you know, God means well.
Amen.
You know, God means well. And so I'm just gonna trust the maker of everything and the person that knows me better than anybody else. Then I'm gonna take over the word of somebody, you know, just that I would just consider a close friend. So but God has proven himself faithful to me. And he hasn't given me any reason to doubt at this point that he's gonna start doing something different. I was praying about a couple of weeks ago. I said, God, you know how me and you roll. You know, that's how I talk to God. I said, you know, I've never, you know, you've never left a whole lot for me to try to figure out, you know, so let's not start now. You know, let's.
I like that.
Keep doing what you've always done. You've always been like, boom, this right here, you know, so let's just keep it like that. So that's kind of how I like to pray and seek God and just try to go about it that way.
I love that, coach. Oh, I love that. And more than anything, you know, as we start to kind of wrap this thing up, as I'm reading this, and I want you to know my notes over here, I was trying to turn my pages, because I got pages. I was trying to turn them real, real quiet so they don't come on, you know, real ruffle. But more than anything, coach, one of the things we've been talking about, celebrating 3 years of what God has done, taking athletic professionals from all walks of life. And what started, like I said, as a plan, and now moved through almost 200 different coaches and athletic professionals that stand here, sit here, record here and say, listen, much like what you said, I may run it by you if I like it, but I'm seeking Christ.
Right.
I win championships because I sought out Christ. I'm right. Now the first this, this, and this, this, insert the attribute and the sex or gender or race because I sought out Christ, right? I've done this and this accolade and made history because I sought out Christ. And right. In this fourth quarter, we know, coach, in every single sport that we play, that fourth quarter, I'm helping out with a coach in golf, not golf, I'm sorry, bowling. The golf coach is also one of the coaches. And now the last frame, right? We have our strongest bowler in the last frame, right? That fourth quarter, we turn up the pressure. We may go grind out a little bit more. That coaching and that push is just a little bit more. And we've been working on the theme, the fourth quarter, and what that looks like for servant leaders to serve for the return of Christ, right? And as we're working on that and moving and forging forward, I just want to ask you as a servant leader, give some advice to that person. I don't care if they're a coach. I don't care if they lead. I don't care if they follow. I don't care what they do. But in this fourth quarter, where we speak about this man that, as you said, you hadn't left me with much to figure out. So let's not start now. The same man that you said, I'm going to tend to the sheep because I know he's going to find me there if I'm where he called me. The right. same man that you've built a relationship with that even when you weren't going to church, right? That's the true thing that I want people to catch, that you built a relationship with him because you sought him. And as the word says, you'll find me when you seek me with your whole heart. I need you to speak to that person that for some reason is multifolded sometimes, that one, I may just not know him. Two, I may have known him, but I was hurt by something of this world or some person of this world, and I've run from him. We're speaking about this man, and you see I'm getting passionate about it because I know what he's done for me.
Amen.
Talk to that person, coach, and maybe just even one, but talk to that person, coach, about just the goodness of God and the importance and the realness of knowing who he is and accepting him for who he is as our personal savior in this fourth quarter.
Well, whoever you are, you know, out in the world listening to the podcast, or if somebody shares it with you, that's why I put on tweeted today that grace and mercy pursuing me all the days of my life. You know, the Bible says that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I made sure to put on the end that there is hope, you know, that there is hope. I love Jesus so much because I have realized how much Jesus loves me. Mm-hmm. Jesus has loved me through everything. This is a thing. Jesus has been consistent when I wasn't consistent.
Come on.
Jesus was still with me when I was straying away from him. So everything that Jesus said that he would be to me in my life at 16 years old, he is still with me at 45. He is the same. I've changed a lot in that time period. But Jesus has been the exact same person that I fell in love with as a lost, low self-esteem, insecure teenage girl, just looking for love. Mm-hmm. You know, I wanted affirmation, mm-hmm. you know, from someone. I was just looking for affirmation because I didn't have any for myself. So when I met Jesus, one of my favorite scriptures that says that when Jesus saw the multitude, he had compassion on them because harassed and helpless or lost and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. And so Jesus is full of compassion. Jesus is compassion. Jesus is love. And it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you're looking for. Often the things that we're looking for, Jesus is the answer.
Come on. We're
just trying to fill it and find it with all these different things. And it's still leading to emptiness. It's still not fulfillment, because Jesus is the fulfillment. Jesus is the love, the compassion, the consistency that we all long for. Like, he is that friend. And so I just think Jesus is a cool guy. You know, I just think Jesus is just cool. I've never met anyone like him. And I think that's still what fascinates me even to this day, that he is just so understanding of who I am, mm-hmm. and how much I've changed. And even on the days where there's frustration and I know that I failed him, does he even still able to look beyond like all of those things and see the heart of a person that really genuinely loves him? And so if you're looking for someone that's going to always be there, I recommend Jesus. If you're looking for someone that's not going to be judgmental, I recommend Jesus. If you're looking for somebody that you can talk to, I recommend Jesus. If you're looking for somebody that can guide you and give you hope, I recommend Jesus. And he is just the greatest. And he's just waiting. Like, he's just there. Like, he's not going to force himself on us, but he wants us. Like, he wants us to come to him And he's always near to us. He is so close to us that we don't even know.
Come on.
And he's drawing us to himself. But I think sometimes we run away from him. Mm-hmm. But he's always been in the same position. So just give it a try. Like I said, you don't have to be churched. You don't have to even go to church right now. It's good to be in the fellowship of believers, but you can meet Jesus outside. You can meet Jesus in your room. I got close to Jesus just in my room, just in the room talking, just trying to figure it out. Didn't even know at that point if everything was just as real as I thought it was. I just know that it was comforting to me to know that I can talk to someone that way and share everything with all my dreams, all my hopes, all my fears and everything, and be able to talk to him and feel an answer and feel confident. So he is there and there's hope. And he is just really we didn't even got to get on the phone and shoot out a text. Like, it's a matter of just opening your mouth and just say, like, God, I need you. Or Jesus, I'm lost. And it's just that simple. Like he is ready to rush in with compassion and love, just like he did with everybody else. So you're no different. No matter who you are, what you've done, you may think you're the worst of whoever. You might think you don't deserve God's love. None of us do. None of us do. Mm-hmm. But you know, for some reason, he loves us, and it's still mind blowing to me that for everything that we are, because we can hide stuff from other people, we can't hide anything from Christ. But he still loves it and he still loves us. That still just blows me away. But I would just like to leave with that part.
I'm speechless. I just, you know, it's just something about him that takes your breath away. And when everything you say, we all have that moment where you have encountered Jesus. And I think the key piece is what you said is he's always been consistent with me, even when I wasn't. When we're not.
Right.
Even when I didn't deserve it. Right. You said, I recommend Jesus. And I'm going to say this. We're going to pray and we're going to get out. There was a moment in time where, you know, one of my stories, coach, and my testimony is God healed me from a brain aneurysm. And in this time, I never forget taking all the medicine, throwing it in a bag and throwing it in the trash. And I remember looking down at all of that medication that I used to just be on taking over and over and over. And much like any medication, you know, there's over-the-counter prescription that give you all this literature with prescription, right? And it says all these side effects, all these things. And you feel like, well, goodness, the cure is worse than the disease, right? Like all of these things. And I laughed because in that moment that he healed me, I recognized that the true saving healing power, the healer, I would never know that he was a healer if I wasn't sick.
Amen.
And so sometimes, and to whoever is listening, it may be you, it may be one person, I don't know. And I hope it reaches whoever God needs it to. The pain that we endure, the hard times that we go through, all of those things, sometimes much like you were saying, if we don't know pain, we also don't know deliverance.
Right.
If we don't know struggle and what it means to walk this world alone and try it our way, we won't have that surrendering spirit that you spoke about. And much like those prescriptions that I used to take with all of these side effects, I can assure you of this, they were not 100% foolproof. Mm. As you said, Jesus is, and you listed all of those things. What I do know is he's not indeed the thing that gives me this pacifier or a band-aid. He was the cure. He didn't treat, he healed.
Amen.
And that's when I see him, when somebody asks me why, there's so many things I can say. You don't have all the time. But the simple thing, you can insert this in any way. People treat, pacify, but God heals.
Amen. That's powerful.
Coach, thank you so much. I'm sitting here. I know I'm full. I know my notepad full, my heart's full. I feel like I could slice through the biggest steak right now because I'm so sharp. Just from allowing him to use you, not just today, but every day in your program with everybody that you touch. You know, if Hendrix wasn't one, let me tell you, I don't care where you are in 17 years, she coming, because that's the type of servant leadership, right? I don't care how much we know basketball. I don't care, or insert sport. It's reaching and touching the hearts of those young women and those lives, because they're God's children too. So I just want to thank you so, so much for coming on today and giving that word in this fourth quarter time to help us grow.
Thank you. Like, cause I really appreciate it. Just, I'm just asking for continued prayers for, to walk in what God has called me to. And I'll be back here in the morning, walking my laps and praying over Daniel 1:6. So it's really good. I will challenge everybody to go back and read it. And if we all had the spirit of Daniel, then we can draw some people to Christ.
Come on. Come on. Coach, you mind giving us a prayer to close out?
I don't mind at all.
All right, let's do it.
Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for this time. God, we thank you for this opportunity, oh Lord God, to share in your word, Lord, to talk about the gospel. Father, we thank you, oh Lord, that you are a present God. Thank you for the listeners, oh Lord God, who tuned in. God, we thank you for everybody, oh Lord, that's going to have an opportunity to hear your word, God, not my word, Lord, but your word. God, I thank you, oh Lord, that you have, Lord, given me a platform, God, that you have chosen to use me as an instrument. But Father God, I know that I am not the star and that you are the star, Lord, and it is my my privilege, oh Lord God, to point people, oh Lord, to you. You are, oh Lord, the real star, the real answer. And I just pray, Father God, that this word will fall on, Lord, just good ground, that it will fall on, God, at a heart that's the soil, oh Lord God, has been tilled and it's been ready, oh Lord God, to receive you. Yes. I pray for an open heart, God, for those who are listening. Just pray for an open heart, God, around the world. I pray, God, that you strengthen your servants, oh Lord, all around the country, all around the world. God, that they will be on fire for you. God, have a spirit, oh Lord, God, of excellence. God, and to be faithful, oh Lord, in the small things, because there is, oh Lord, God, a great cloud of witnesses who are watching us. And God, just continue, oh Lord, to have your hand upon this podcast, Lord. Thank you for Chelsea. And God, just continue, Lord God, to bless it, Lord, expand her territory, God, so you can be shared more, God, all over the world. And we just thank you, God, for everything you've done tonight. Thank God, bless you. The word as it goes forth. God, let it fall on good ground. We ask you blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen, Coach. Amen. My favorite line of the podcast, Servant Leader Stephanie Murphy. You are now part of the Servant Leader family.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
For sure. I feel like with each passing individual and servant leader, this regime that God is building is just growing and growing. And that front line is unbreakable. And I thank you for joining the ranks, Coach. So we're going to be praying with you for you. We're going to be reading Daniel 6. I know I'm about to add that to, you know, my time and my devotion, because that is right on time. And anything you need from us, all you got to do is reach out.
All right. Thank you. I appreciate that. Have a good one.
For sure. We thank you guys for listening. We're going to see you guys next time.
All right. See you.
See you, Coach.
This message comes from our sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy: family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's TELADOC Health/whatsyourwhy.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.